WTBQ.
Hello and welcome to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and I thank you so much for joining us here today on your favorite radio station, WTBQ. And don't forget, we are now 93.5 FM as well as our very faithful 1110 AM, and I hope you are doing well today. It is a good day to do well. It is always a good day to do well. And I tell you, though, if you are trying to get pregnant, it's a tough time. I have been there. I know how that feels. Many people are there right now. When you really get that baby lust and you're ready to have a kid, and it doesn't happen just when you want it to, it's really frustrating, depressing, and sometimes it just goes on and on. Most people, you know, you always hear these stories, you know, once you stop trying too hard or once you start to adopt a child, all of a sudden, there you go and you get pregnant. And that, of course, can happen. For a lot of people, that doesn't happen. And it doesn't happen that easily. So then they've got to learn more about infertility. They have to often see a doctor. Questions are, though, when do you see a doctor? What do you do? What is it all mean? I mean, we just don't know. I mean, we just think it happens the easy, old-fashioned way when you want it to, and it doesn't always happen that way. So we're going to talk about that today, and certainly for those of you who are in this position or know someone that's in this position, definitely listen to us and listen up today, because I'm going to talk to Jennifer Hannon, who has co-written a book with Daniel Potter, MD. He is the doctor in this, and she is, I think, the writer, journalist, and also has been through this process. What to do when you can't get pregnant, the complete guide to all the technologies for couples facing fertility problems. And we're going to welcome Jennifer Hannon, to Shannon's Corner. How are you today?
Great. How are you, Shannon?
I'm very fine. Thank you very much. And you've been through this, so we're going to pick your brain on that. But, you know, the statistics on this are a lot higher than I thought they were. I think there's almost 11% of women in the United States that go through this, which is a good amount. And, you know, most just don't expect to get infertile or know how to deal with it. And it's just a huge, I mean, 11% I think is a pretty huge problem. And, the ages they I know at the CDC, the ages they talk about are ages 15 through 44. So I know as you get higher up there, closer to that 44, it's already a little bit higher, but 6.7 million women in that age bracket are dealing with some sort of infertility. Is it true that as we get older, that obviously goes up? I mean, it says from 15 to 44, but I think at 15 it's a lot easier than at 44, right?
Well, it should be. I mean,
yeah.
Let's hope so.
Should be, right.
But yes, you know, women are born with all the finite eggs they'll ever have. And as you get older for women and men, your fertility declines, as we would expect. But we've found out in the last, you know, the last couple decades that frankly, you don't want to wait. Most professional couples wait until their 30s, you know, to start even thinking about having
right.
a baby these days. And we're saying, you know, think about it earlier. You know, think about it earlier. See your OB earlier. If you think you need a fertility specialist, see that person. If you've been trying for over a year and you haven't been pregnant, you should see a fertility specialist.
So that's the key,
you know,
there. If you've been trying for over a year and you're not pregnant, that's the key to go see someone?
Well, that's the key if you're, you know, in your 20s, if you're approaching 30. I mean, really, if you're in your mid-30s, I would say see somebody now.
Mm-hmm.
Why wait? Because, you know, for me, I had a blocked fallopian tube, a left one that I didn't know about. For my husband, he had a poor sperm count, poor motility, which is how they swim, poor morphology, which is the shape of the sperm. You know, he had no idea either. And so we were pretty much batting zero every time we even tried. So, you know, we learned quickly about issues that we had, and really the first time that I actually had IVF, I was pregnant with twins.
Wow.
It won't happen for everybody, but you know what? If you don't know what's not working in your body, how are you going to get pregnant?
Right, that's true. So you've been through this. Now, you've co-written this book, as I mentioned, and you have been through this.
Right.
And you, the right. doctor you used was the doctor, obviously, that you did this with, Daniel Potter, MD. And together,
right.
you two wrote this book because you had been there. You know, you mentioned you had twins, and that often happens. How long, first off, could you tell us how old you were so that, I mean, were you 30 or were you closer to 40?
Yeah, I was in my late 30s, actually.
Yeah.
And it was my second marriage. I hadn't,
mm-hmm.
well, I married, I think the second marriage, I was 36. But I hadn't planned on going. My mother had four kids. I thought I was fine.
Right.
I know my older sister had some issues. When she was 22, her husband was twice her age, and she couldn't get pregnant. So I thought about that, and I thought, well, you know, maybe my friend's right. My friend in D.C. said, you know, go see somebody. I have so many friends that try, and they can't, and then they are childless. And my good friend had three kids. she was blessed with three children. So I did go. Well, first we looked. We found a doctor we liked. He had a great background. He was also, he did some of his fellowship work in Texas, where I'm from, so that spoke to me. And he's got a great bedside manner, very smart. He's got 9 fertility clinics in Southern California, a top doctor. And so, and he didn't have 9 then, but, you know, he had several. He had at least 5 when I first met him. But we knew right away that he was the right guy. He was concerned about us. He was concerned about us getting pregnant, and he did exactly what he needed to do to make sure that that happened for us.
How long does that process take? I mean, for people that are, you know, getting to that spot, and I think really probably, and I don't know the statistics on this, and maybe you do, that usually it takes to you're after 35 to see that there's a problem, because up until then, most people just think, oh, well, it's going to happen any minute sort of thing, and then you get a little nervous as you get a little older and the longer you try, maybe. But how long does it take from when starting that process? Obviously, everybody's different, but it's not right away. You don't go to a fertility doctor or pick up this book and things happen right away. There's a whole process there, right?
Well, there is a process. I mean, most people see their OB first. Sometimes people try Clomid, but we all know that that's also produced many babies. We've seen the Octomom. We've seen, you know.
Oh,
John,
that's what that is. Okay.
People that have 8 kids, right? So you want to make sure that you're not going to have 8 kids. I mean, I don't think anybody wants a baseball team starting out. 1 or 2 is even difficult, you know? So I think you do need to see somebody. We always say don't wait. You know, if you're in your 30s or tried a year, you should see somebody right away. You know, if you even think that there could be an issue, I mean, like with me, my parents had 4 kids. I didn't think I had
right,
an issue.
Right, no, I agree.
But once I had the fallopian tube out, that gives you like a 50% higher chance of getting pregnant to begin with. So I had that out, say it was, I don't know, November of 2003. It was 2. And then by February 2003, I was pregnant.
Uh-huh.
It happened that quickly. And,
wow.
And we knew because we were on a trip, and I had all the signs of pregnancy. My body was telling me I was getting sleepy, I was tired, I was hungry, my breasts were sore. You know, I had all those signs.
Right,
that,
right.
You know what? I think I'm pregnant. And before we came back, I was waiting on the results. And they said, well, you know, you're pregnant, but you don't have just have one. You have more than one.
And wow.
So that's how I knew. But
well, congratulations.
So it happens fast for us, but,
yeah.
But it doesn't happen fast for everyone. I've interviewed people that have gone through it 6 times.
Yes.
You know, and the next time they didn't use birth control, they got pregnant on their own. So, you know, there is a whole side to, you know, being stress-free. You know, we talk about acupuncture. We talk about massage therapy. We talk about eating right, you know, not being too overweight, not being too underweight. We talk about all the issues that can contribute to fertility and pregnancy. And we realize there's different paths for different people. I mean, some people may decide they want to adopt. Some people may want to use a surrogate. Some people may want to use an egg donor. And so, you know, what we try to do with this book is give all the options, all the paths, so that people don't feel guilty. They don't feel guilty their body's not working, and they find the right solution for them.
Sounds like this is a good book to pick up before you get into huge trouble. So, because I guess you can, I mean, and I remember this when I was trying to get pregnant and did, you know, you know, you have to listen to your body. You have to eat right. You have to be stress-free. You have to be in good shape when you get pregnant. What are some of the things that people can do that are listening that know they want to get pregnant, aren't sure they have a problem or not yet? Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But to maybe bypass having a problem, are there certain foods or certain things you can do? You mentioned acupuncture. You mentioned weight. I mean, are there certain things that you can do to maybe make it happen a little easier or certainly help it along?
Well, I think you want to try to be as stress-free as possible. You want to exercise every day. You want to, you know, get your heart rate up occasionally, right? I mean, that's all good. You want to eat the right foods. You don't want to eat a lot of junk, a lot of refined sugars, a lot of, I mean, I say moderation, you know.
Right, of
think
course.
About how to live with, you know, within your means. Don't drink too much. Don't, you know, don't eat too much of anything that you know is not right.
Right. Common sense.
You don't want to, you want to know what your BMI is, your basal, you know, weight. You want to make sure that your BMI is not over the standard for your height. I mean, because, you know, you can tell if you're obese, if you're 5 foot and you weigh 200 pounds, right?
Right, right.
I mean, so you need to look at those kind of things. You need to know that you're eating correctly, you know, trying to live stress-free. If you're a man, you don't want to go in, you don't want to wear tight underwear. You definitely don't want to go into hot tubs all the time. There are certain chemicals that reduce fertility. You know, household chemicals, chemicals outside. If you work at a refinery, you know, you probably want to get yourself checked out. And men too. A lot of times people don't, they think it's a women's issue only. Well, you know what? Half of all infertility is men. So you need to look at, you need to have the men, men need to be evaluated as well.
So it's not just women, which we always think. And of course, it's always the woman that goes to the doctor first.
Right. But the man needs to go, too, because, you know, everything's working on with her, and if he's batting zero, it's not going to work either. So, you know, just to save time and trouble and money, you know, I mean, I know people who have gone through it like 6 or 8 times, and you can imagine how expensive that is. And sometimes it's the doctor or the practice. Sometimes it's just the methodology, and sometimes, you know, it's just not going to happen because other things involved. But, you know, one thing we did with this revision is we put in a chapter really a plan, sort of a 3-month, you know, I don't want to say it's a surefire way to get pregnant, but a way to help yourself get closer to your goal. So, you know, if you follow that, lots of Dr. Potter's patients have followed it and gotten pregnant. He mentions taking Cyvita if you're a man, and that also helps. I mean, there's lots of little tricks and tips that we give to help people decide which path and what's best for them.
I want to talk about some of those paths that they can take. Mm-hmm. And when you get to this mm-hmm. point, we have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about what is in the book. And for those that are listening that are going through this, how this book can help them. We are going to take a break right now here on WTBQ. And we will be back in just a few talking about getting pregnant.
Protecting your car can be one of the most important things you do this year. And at Leocadis Ford, they can make it easy. Stop by today for these great deals. The Works Fuel Saver Package. They'll rotate your tires, change your oil, and filter.
That's enough. Hi, this is Leocadis Sr. You know, we've been running the same commercial for a long, long time.
But Grandpa, the message is still the same. Quality you can trust. What do you think, Dad?
Well, Matt, quality inventory, both new and pre-owned cars and trucks, plus quality parts sales, and as always, quality service. And with Ford Motor Company making the best cars and trucks in America...
Isn't it time to come home to Ford?
No, that's Leocadis Ford.
Celebrating over 35 years of serving the community. So call us at 986-1131. That's 986-1131. Leocadis Ford, Warwick, New York.
Quality you can trust.
When my construction company has a tight deadline, I need a contract bond fast. That's why I work with Selective. With their Contractor Express program, I can pre-qualify for bonds for many of my smaller jobs in just a few minutes.
Selective. Response is everything. For quick and easy bond solutions, visit selective.com.
Small contract bond and no hassle. That works for me.
This is Garrett Derlin from Seeley & Derlin Insurance. For quick and affordable contract bond needs, contact us at 845-986-1177.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
This is Garrett Derlin from Seeley & Derlin Insurance. To create your custom business insurance solution, contact us at 845-986-1177.
If you don't shop right, you should stop by one of ShopRite's convenient locations and see what you're missing. Besides everyday low prices, they have hundreds of items on sale every week. Their meat departments come complete with a butcher ready to customize cut any order. They carry premium quality meats and poultry, plus ready-to-cook entrees prepared just for you. Their produce is delivered 7 days a week with a wide variety from around the world, as well as local farms. They now carry a full line of premium quality boar's head meats and cheeses sliced to your specifications. Their fresh bake shop has a great selection of handcrafted breads and delicious store-made treats. Many of their stores have a free in-store registered dietitian who's ready to help you with meal planning and any dietary needs. No time to shop? Shop online at ShopRite.com and have your groceries delivered right to your door or ready for pickup at a time convenient to you. To find the ShopRite located nearest to you, go to ShopRite.com. Come see what everyone is excited about at a ShopRite near you.
I'm Bill Johnson, an old semi-retired dairy farmer hosting the Orange County Farm Talk Show every Wednesday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. I hope to promote all segments of farming along with input from our listeners every Wednesday, 12 to 1 on WTBQ.
WTBQ. Hi, and welcome back to Shannon's Corner. Are we on air? I'm sorry. Somebody interrupted us. I'm sorry. Welcome back to Shannon's Corner, and thanks so much for joining us here today. We are talking about getting pregnant, which is really important for those of you that are trying. It's a very serious issue when you are trying to do it, for sure. And it's very difficult. I mean, there's no question. You know, all of us think we can just get pregnant when we want, and certainly when we're in our 20s, we try everything not to get pregnant, or maybe not always 20s. But most people, as my guest today has mentioned, most people try well in their 30s. My guest today is Jennifer Hannon. She has written a book along with Daniel Potter, MD, What to Do When You Can't Get Pregnant, The Complete Guide to All the Technologies for Couples Facing Fertility Problem. And it is a huge problem, and hopefully, you know, one that you can you really work out with this book, because this book is a step-by-step guide giving you all the information you need. And boy, do you need information. I mean, that's the main thing. Before we took a break, I was going to ask Jennifer about some of the issues with, I've never really understood, never had to go through it, luckily, what all the infertility things are and the different options you can do with the implantations and the hormones and, you know, freezing your eggs. I know people that have done that. When do you get to that point, and what are the options?
Well, there are many options. I mean, couples can go through and have a regular pregnancy using IVF, in vitro fertilization. They can use an egg donor. They can use a sperm donor. Couples can use a surrogate. You know, there's also, you know, looking at other options like adoption, looking at being a foster parent, looking at just jobs or situations where you can be around kids, you know, be a big brother, big sister, be something to do with kids. I mean, I think a lot of people, you know, are raised thinking they have to get married, they have to have the white picket fence, they have to have the kids. It's not for everybody.
Yeah.
We have great aunts and great uncles, and they're perfectly fine just doing what they're doing. And so there's something to be said for that, too. So I think with this book, we tried to find, you know, what are all the options? What would we have liked to have read while we were going through it?
Also, Dr. Potter went through this, right?
Well, he did, with both of his children.
So he knows firsthand, which is really, ideal, yes, because not only is he a medical doctor that understands it medically, the fact that he has been through it personally really helps in this book, there's no question.
It does. I mean, he is the best patient advocate.
Right.
He's the best fertility doctor that I know personally, and I'm partial because he was my doctor, too. So.
Yeah, absolutely. But when things like freezing your eggs, I know someone who froze her eggs and then in her 50s, froze them and had children. How does that work, and when do you decide that, and do you go to a doctor, like just regular doctor, or are there certain clinics you have to do this at?
Well, normally you would start with a fertility specialist. I mean, and your OB may be able to direct you, or you could look them up, you know, on Google like we did, or, you know, on a search engine like we did. But once you freeze your eggs, I mean, you can decide, and every year you will have to make that decision. Are you going to keep your eggs, or are you going to continue to store them? Are you going to, or and it could be your embryos or your blastocysts, you know, whichever. But are you going to continue to store them, or are you going to give them away for research? I mean, you have these choices to make as a parent-to-be once you have genetic material frozen. But I think the most important thing is to decide, you know, how you want to use that material and whether or not you're planning to have a larger family or not.
Yeah. And in vitro fertilization, we've all heard the term. Is that the same as, is that what everybody goes, is that the next step when you realize that you can't get pregnant the normal way?
Well, it is certainly a fast step to take. I mean, that's where, you know, the embryo and is fertilized in the laboratory. So it's the genetic material from the mother and the father. It's combined, and then that makes the embryo or the blastocyst a few days later. And obviously, 3-day embryos or 5-day, you know, once you get into the blastocyst stage, they're going to you have a better option. I mean, in our chapter 8, we have a picture of our kids as blastocysts, and they're rated one through four, and we know two of those are ours. Now, we don't know which two, but we're hoping they're the fours. We think they are, because they're great kids. But it is unique, and it is interesting, and I think that anyone that even thinks they want to have children needs to check it out. And those people that are going through cancer therapy as young people also, they can freeze their eggs, they can freeze their sperm, so that they can use that after the radiation, after the chemotherapy, so that nothing is damaged, you know, beforehand. So it's really important for people that that do get sick and have to have that kind of treatment to know that they can freeze their genetic material and use it in the future.
All right, so that would make sense. I didn't even think about that. For anybody who's listening that is going through any sort of treatment for illness, cancer, something like that, that is a good alternative, no question. And then there's basic things like endometriosis that stop women. And can you get around that? We hear of that a lot lately. Is there ways around that? I mean, how does that work?
Sure, there's treatment for endometriosis. One of the newest things is genetic testing. You know, years ago we wrote a chapter on PGD, which is pre-implantation genetic diagnosis. It is not a diagnosis, but it's a testing procedure where your chromosomes are looked at in the lab ahead of time so that you know which ones are normal and which ones are considered abnormal. So you have the best chance of having a healthy baby. And now there's another one called, and we wrote about this too, pre-implantation genetic screening, PGS. And that is also important in the same way. They're both testing, not diagnosis, but testing. They look at chromosomes for abnormalities to find the healthy ones. And they can do that right before IVF so that you know that if you've had three miscarriages, gosh, your chances are so much higher now, because now you know that the ones that are being implanted in you for IVF are considered completely normal, and that's what you want.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting. And, you know, you mentioned earlier that the husband, the father, has some responsibility here, too, to be checked out, to do things. Are there certain tests that are just for him and certain requirements that are just for the male? And is there an age that is too old? I don't think there is an age that is too old for men.
No.
I mean, women.
Yeah. People like that tell us there's not an age that's too old.
No,
Yeah, but yes, you know, the male would either want to be checked out by a reproductive endocrinologist or go to a urologist. Either one of those doctors treat men for infertility. And there are certain tests and sperm analysis and things like that they will do to check and see. We have a whole chapter just for men. We have a whole chapter just for women.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
that's good.
We have other chapters for relationships. We have chapters that talk about how to tell your kids, because one day they may want to know, you know, how did I come into this world? Did you have help? You know, and you know, you don't want them to hear it from the neighbor or the friend or the chatty, you know, person down the street.
Right, right.
You'd probably like to have that conversation yourself.
Yeah, no, that's true. And it is stress. No, no question. It is stress on the couple, right?
Oh, totally. I mean, two of the couples that I've interviewed are divorced already.
Really?
And I always wondered when I interviewed them, which one of us, you know, will it be? Because it is stressful, and it does take a lot out of you, and it is expensive, and, you know, it's not for everybody.
I mean, it is expensive.
And parenting isn't for everybody either, and we all have to realize that.
Right. Well, yeah, maybe that's a good time to look at it. And it is expensive, which is a whole other subject, which obviously you cover that in the book. Is there a time that you walk into a doctor's office and you should run? I mean, I can think of all these people that have gone through things. You mentioned Clomid. Maybe that's not an answer. I mean, is there a time that you should, obviously you should pick up this book first and have all the information, but is there any, like, you know, red flags that say this is not right?
Well, I think if it's a doctor that you feel uncomfortable with, if it's a doctor that gives you information that goes against everything you've read or heard, you know, maybe it's time to look for somebody else. I mean, you should definitely, you know, do your research, talk to your friends, see who recommends who, you know, sort of the way you would find a good, you know, internist or a good cancer specialist. I mean, you want to talk to people. You want to look up the doctors. You want to try to find out who the best is and go from there. And I would say if you haven't been able to resolve it in a few months with a fertility specialist, maybe it is time to look for somebody else, you know, and only that person can make that determination.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I think that that's great advice, and I think that if a doctor is telling you to do all these things and they're very expensive and you don't understand them, I mean, and they don't, you know, all these red flags that come up, because it is a big business as well. So, you know.
Right. And there is help out there. I mean, there are different, you know, you can get some financing at certain clinics. And so you should look at that. You should also look at your insurance, because some insurances now do pay for some fertility treatments. So you need to look at that. And also the state laws. You need to know what is permissible in your state. I mean, there are people that come from Australia. You know, Dr. Potter will go there, too, because the laws are different there for egg donation and things like that. And so you need to know, you know, what are your options and how can you best do this and how can you afford it?
Right. I mean, these are all things you really need to know going into it, and the two of you need to know going into it so that you don't have that stress. So the more you know going into it, the better the process is going to be. And you can know everything from this book, What to Do When You Can't Get Pregnant, The Complete Guide to All Technologies for Couples Facing Fertility Problem. And where can we get this book, Jennifer?
You can get it on Amazon.com. Mm-hmm. You can get it off of our official website, which is can'tgetpregnant.com.
Which is on Shannon's Corner.
You can get it off of...
So everybody listening,
can
just
it
go
it
on Shannon's
Dr.
Corner.
Potter's.
Yeah, yeah. And we have a link to the site.
Yeah,
we have a link to the site.
Right.
So it goes right there.
Okay.
So there's a hot link. So anybody listening in the car, just go to Shannon's Corner, click on the hot link, and it'll take you right to the website so that you can get more information, get the book, and anybody who's going through this really needs this help. Jennifer Hannon, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us. And one other thing you should know is the subtitle has been changed. It's The Complete Guide to All the Options for Couples Facing Fertility Issues. So
gotcha.
It doesn't say technologies anymore, but all the options.
Terrific. Okay. Thank you so much. Again, it's What to Do When You Can't Get Pregnant. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, don't forget to make good choices.